This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
On to Saturday. I appreciate that by the time I splice this up and put it out as a separate preview pod, some of the things we talk about are slightly out of date because we've done it 5 days, 6 days early, Adam. But how do you see Saturday going against Preston? The big one. Ryan Lowe returns.
Yeah, as I've already mentioned, it's absolutely huge for a number of reasons. Now, I have already said, along with everybody here, I think that giving Foster this one game is probably the right decision at this stage. But I don't think it's unfair to say that it's a must win. What we can't be doing is dropping points again, no matter what the performance looks like. And going into a game like this and getting the win would just be massive. Now, I don't really know what to expect because Preston have been quite a boring side. No matter what Ryan Lowe tries to tell you or what he tries to spin in the media, they don't generally seem to create a lot of chances in their games, nor do they tend to concede a lot of chances, which I guess is sort of the way that Foster's tried to play against these sides in recent weeks. So if we end up with no shots on target for either side, I mean, hey, wouldn't that be fun? But I'll say it's a huge opportunity for Argyle. If we are to get something in this, or a positive result, I should say, in this against Ryan Lowe coming back for the first time and play his side off the park, that is a huge feather in Foster's cap. It means that the feel-good factor will return, and not only will it will return and remain for the best part of 2 weeks for the international break. So whether it's a winner, I expect, I don't know. I think it's going to be a very tight game. It's more or less the opposite of what I anticipated with the Ipswich game the other week, where I thought they'd be chanced at both ends. This time, I'd be surprised, actually, if the both teams to score came in. I think it'd be a very tight one. Few chances either way. And hopefully, the fact that we are the side that, Saturday against Blackburn is an outlier. Generally speaking, we have converted our chances this season very well. Hopefully, that will mean that we're able to take our one big chance and they don't take their one big chance, something like that, and then we're fine. Obviously I'd like to see some brilliant football. Obviously I'd like to see Ryan Lowe and his side going home with the tails between their legs, but I'm anticipating something tight and hopefully we can come out on the right side of it.
Yeah, Sam, do you want to give us your thoughts on Saturday? Which side do you see cleaning up here?
I think we will do just enough to preserve the air of uncertainty and come away with a narrow win in a similar way to that which Adam describes. They do have players who can threaten. Emil Rees, the big striker, they just seem, I've not followed their form religiously, but from what when I have followed their form, they look so much better when he's in the team. He's a really good all-round striker. Brings other players into play. I know that they sort of toyed with a 3-4-3 formation and now they've gone more back towards a 3-5-2. So maybe he's just one of those who having two strikers, he gets in, whereas maybe having one striker, he doesn't so much. And maybe he's a bit of a confidence player, but he seems a really good player. Miller as a wing back, I think, has been a pretty good player whenever I've seen him. So they're not with a not our Miller, I should add. They have their own Miller as well. So yeah, I think they're a tidy outfit. Let's be honest. As much as we all like to, you know, have a go at Ryan Lowe, he's done a decent enough job there over his 2.5 year tenure coming up, which sort of feels mad to say, but 2.5 years he's been there. He's not looked like pushing them up to the next level of the playoffs, but he's also never looked in any danger of taking them down. And that is kind of where Preston's level is, in all honesty. Yes, you know, if they got in an absolutely exceptional manager of a Rob Edwards level who got them in the top six, could have get them into the Premier League, that could happen. But, you know, they could so easily roll the dice and go the other way. I don't know if anybody's watched The Office and the quote where Tim, who's Martin Freeman's character, says, "At the minute, my life is a four. I could roll the dice and get a six, but I could also roll the dice and get a two. So I'm kind of happy with my life being a four on the dice." And I feel that's kind of Ryan Lowe at Preston. They're a four on the dice. They're, you know, slightly above average, but and I think that's why they have stuck with him so long. They don't play great football. I know that Ryan Lowe, certainly in the sort of half season before he got poached by us, is playing some pretty good football. And looking after the ball very well. I think the Preston side are a lot less possession orientated than that. They're a bit more like an Ian Foster side, quite defence first, quite defence orientated, and just in the hope that their good attacking players will take one or more of the chances they create. That seems to be pretty much their game plan. He obviously lost yesterday to Stephen Schumacher Stoke, which obviously was not the result we wanted because Stoke are in a relegation battle with us. But actually, in a way, there might be a good side to that result, because one other thing about Preston under Ryan Lowe is they're a notoriously streaky side. They will go on great runs and very bad runs. They're not like Argyle have been this season at all. Argyle this season have kept our head above water by solidly winning one every four games or so on an average. We've only had back-to-back wins once, which was Cardiff then Swansea, and we've not had many long losing runs either. We've always got the odd draw in there or the odd win to break up a losing run. So Preston, on the other hand, they're different. They're a very streaky outfit indeed. No, that's not an insinuation. Let's be respectful. That was not an insinuation as to anything. I want to make that quite clear. But they are a very up and down team. That's probably not much better, is it, up and down? But anyway... Anyway, they are a team who they are a team who can have very good winning runs and very poor losing runs. And maybe, just maybe, if they, you know, the confidence hit that they've had from their loss from their loss against Stoke could set them off on another losing run. That's the concern for that, from their point of view, obviously, which would be a very good thing if it were to happen from our point of view.
Yeah, it's very disappointing that Lowe allowed Schumacher to beat him to keep them both in a job, the We Hate Argyle derby. It is what it is. John, where's the question? I found it. Jack asks, where are we at with the Preston game? If he wins this, does it buy him another game? And if he loses it, he's gone? Or is it not as straightforward as that?
For starters, I'm just trying to get the mental image of Ryan Lowe in The Office out of my head, which Sam has put there. Tell you what, there were no jelly in the stapler till I got in it. It's one for Sam, who's laughing. You just can't hear it for those listening on the audio version only. Of course, if we win the game, then he will stay. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, I can't really imagine any circumstances in which you would sack a manager after winning a game of football. Obviously, you know, there are circumstances in which that has happened in the past, but I don't think we're really meeting any of the kind of outside of the box things that would allow for that. Where a win is pretty much, I think, what we're all demanding of him from that game, and I think if we get it, it's going to be hard to complain. And I think that'll be true even if it's kind of a scrappy game. We don't show a ton of attacking intent or quality, because I think they're quite a scrappy side. They know how to shut up shop when they want to. They know how to kind of be a bit shithousey, for want of a better word. So I think really any kind of win in that game, given, you know, the season they've had compared to the season we've had, which has been, you know, a sort of playoff chasing season as opposed to a relegation fighting season, would be a really good result, and of course would buy him time. That's not saying it would sweep any kind of issues with his style under the carpet, but probably we only need a few more. It was actually completely unintentional. Aaron's laughing. But let's get back to the point at hand. I don't think we need too many more wins to be safe, probably, right? I think if there's so many teams down there that every single one of them going on an amazing run of form between now and the end of the season feels unlikely. And I think that he is, I feel like we probably need to win two or three more games, more than two, but maybe three or four out of nine. And so, you know, yeah, when you start to distance yourselves again, obviously, if one of the teams kind of in, like, you know, in and around that, 38 point mark, I think now is the sort of third from bottom team, fails to win, then we'll be, you know, 6 points clear with a superior goal difference. If we beat Preston, that starts to look a lot more healthy again, obviously. So I think a win is really the entire ball game here, as far as I'm concerned. And I think he will get a stay of execution if that's the case. And even if that's the right way of putting it, it might, you know, we might win the game very handsomely and go on a nice little good run, in which case it will be way more than a stay of execution. It'll just be quieting nerves and getting on with it. So, I think if we win, there's no question that he'll stay. If we lose, will he go? I don't know. I think if we lose and it's a really poor, lackluster performance, if Brian Lowe just does him in a tactical masterclass, if we don't score, if it's 1-0 or 2-0 to the away team, the fans get restless, start booing, I could definitely see a world in which, and also, you know, let's say Huddersfield and QPR and Sheffield Wednesday all win, and so suddenly we're kind of 21st, whatever, I can see a world in which he is actually sacked, just because while I don't think it will be Hallett's intention to fire him, he will remember what happened with Derek Adams in that season where we just sleepwalked into relegation in 2019. So I think there's a chance of it. I also think there's a chance, though, that even in those circumstances, Jusnip or whoever, or Foster himself, say, well, I haven't had much time on the grass with the players because we've had Tuesday, Saturday game weeks pretty much every single week. We now have an international break. You know, I deserve that, or Foster deserves that, as an opportunity to get the players in training and you know, work with them and try and drill them and you know, get the results going in the right direction after the international break. And I could see that maybe being a persuasive argument as well. So I don't think it's necessarily a win he stays, lose he goes equation. I think if we win, like I said, he definitely stays. Lose, I think it will depend on the manner of it, honestly, and how the fans react to it, probably, as to whether he goes or not. But yeah, we'll see. Massive, massive game, and I think it's a must win.
Yeah, Adam, I normally ask Sam to read off their squad list off Google, but I believe you're doing a preview for this one, aren't you?
Well, I am. Yeah, the research isn't 100%, but you're welcome to test me.
No, good. No, I'm just going to ask you about their key threats and who we should worry about. And their playoff dream is basically dead now, right?
You'd think so. You'd think that, particularly the way that Sam's mentioned that they're regularly streaky, or was it up and down, or whatever we agreed on in the end. But I think Liam Miller was the one that was touched on in the winger/wingback positions. He's much like us, and Miller has been weirdly the key threat for a lot of the time. But at least with theirs, he does seem to have some sort of end product. He has genuinely scored a lot of wonder goals, so I can get that out. I think the one that springs to mind, actually, is Boxing Day. He scored an absolute beauty against Leeds, and as they took the game to a side that was fighting for a promotion at the time. I know. But there's a lot of good things that Miller does. If he's not scoring, he's very much usually involved in the in the build-up play. There's a lot of key passes come from him. A lot of the time he's very willing and able to cross the ball if he can't get the chance away himself. So yeah, there's a lot of good that he does, and I'm hoping this isn't like my praise of Wes Burns in preview to Ipswich game that gets released a few days later and suddenly we find that he's out injured. I mean, that being said, if he was out injured, I wouldn't argue with that either. So yeah, Burns is the one. I've been impressed actually, the way that their defense sets up actually reminds me an awful lot of the way that we had our first half season under Ryan Lowe when we were fighting at the top before he ended up getting poached by Preston. That's in the sense that Liam Lindsay in the middle has impressed me in the way he plays the Dan Scar role. He gets an awful lot of clearances, he wins at least 70% of his aerial duels. It's very impressive, and it's going to have to be a way almost of finding a way round him rather than through him, because he's the basic defending that is something that he does very well. In terms of other threats, it's hard to say. Miller's been the very obvious one all season. Woodman in goal has had a decent season. Fell off a little bit after a very, very quick start, but he's still more than adequate for the level that Preston are at. Milutinović Majić, the Montenegrin, is a striker, a little bit of an enigma. He can go missing at times for me, but he can be very good. He did get their goal against Stoke. Yeah, I got there eventually at the weekend. So he's a threat. And interestingly, it's one of those where both Miller and Osmajic, so those are the point of doubt, made their debuts for Preston in that game in the reverse fixture at Deepdale, and both played particularly well, Miller himself getting a goal. So we know what they can do. We know that they can threaten us. And yeah, there's a lot to like about some of the individuals in Preston's side, but as I mentioned, that they can be quite boring. It doesn't strike me as a game that's going to have us all on the edge of our seats. And as I've said before, hopefully it's just on the one that we can come out the right side of. Maybe we'll take them to the cleaners. That'd be nice. But a quick win or two.
You say they're boring, but they were on fire in their last away game. Anyone? Anyone tap?
Can we use the TalkSport money to hire some pun writers, please?
Hey,
for those unaware, their last away game was called off at Southampton due to an enormous fire outside the ground.
Nobody died or anything. We're not being distasteful.
Yeah, obviously.
I want to make that quite clear.
To be very clear. One of those harmless fires.
That's a Kasabian song, so that's, you know, that's how much I pay attention. Let's just do some score predictions and wrap this up. Is Sunday a school night, technically? I suppose so. It's a school night. You got school tomorrow. Anyway, doesn't matter. Score predictions, John.
I hate this. My heart says Foster is going to calm the nerves with a 2-0 win. My head says they're going to do a job on us and win 1-0, and Ryan Lowe is going to be running over to that away end with his Klopp fist pump thing going on, and it's going to be dreadful. I don't know. I'll say a 1-0, a 1-0 loss regressively, but I hope I'm wrong.
That's nice and positive. But actually, on that quickly, John, on the fire, they've obviously had an extra. No, they haven't had an extra week off, have they? No, don't worry. Chat rubbish. Move on. Adam.
They played on Saturday, which was the same as
I know.
Us,
that's, so, yeah, I just realized.
He saved himself.
Go on, Adam.
For me, I won all draw that satisfies nobody. We don't get any answers on whether Foster's going to go, nor do we get the points. One all, Argyle scoring first. So another annoying draw.
Go on, Sam. Finish up with a nice positive.
Win. 1-0.
Because whenever you say we win, it always comes off. So I'm looking forward to that. You definitely never get that wrong. So that's good. Is there anything to add? Or should we go to bed? No, that's good. That's a positive silence. Thanks, everybody, again, for watching along live or listening back on your podcast platforms. Make sure to like, follow us on, you know, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, the TikTok. There's some more Sam Down content on the TikTok now, featuring a few tequila rosés. Make sure you subscribe to us on your podcast platforms, etc., etc., etc. Subscribe, like, and all that good stuff on YouTube. I think that's everything. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, all.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Cheers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.